Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the All Things Gymnastics podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brittany.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things gymnastics. And this episode officially kicks off our 2024 NCAA season previews, as well as our new segment, Coach's Corner, where we sit down with the head coach of some of the top NCAA teams in the country to chat about the upcoming season. We're excited to be kicking things off with Bev Plocke, who's the head coach at the University of Michigan and is heading into her 35th season with the Wolverines. Under her tenure, she has led the Wolverines to 27 Big Ten titles and the program's first ever NCAA title back in 2021. We sat down with Bev last week to talk about the potential of her team this season, who you can watch for. We also talk NIL, UCLA and Washington joining the Big Ten, and so much more. So we hope you guys enjoy. All right, so we'll start with last season. Obviously, it didn't end the way you guys wanted it to, but I guess just talk a little bit about that, and then for you as a coach, how do you go about keeping the team's morale up when, you know, things don't end how you want it to?
You know, I just think trying to keep things in perspective. And the reality is we had a really great season as a whole. We had a really great season. And, you know, it is hard when you're looking back at the last two seasons saying it didn't exactly end the way that we wanted it to. But that's just kind of how athletics goes. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to get better at being more confident in ourselves when we go into the latter part of the season, and just knowing that it's no different than at the Big Ten Championships or at any other meet of the season. I think we need to go into, you know, regionals and nationals with that same confident performance that we have the rest of the season. But we really had an amazing season all year long. And so, you know, I think that this team has a lot of confidence in each other. There's a lot of talent among this group of young women. And, you know, it's a disappointment for sure that we were not at the national championship last year. And it hurts when you sit there and watch the competition and you know what you might have been able to do had you been on the floor competing. That is definitely no fun. But, you know, the whole thing about athletics is it's the highest of high and the lowest of lows. And the highest of highs are not as exciting when you don't experience the lowest of lows.
Yeah, true. Do you think that confidence was the biggest issue? When you look at, like, the team from 2021 that obviously won the national championship, and then the last 2 years, do you think it came down to confidence in the end?
I think that when you've experienced winning the way we did in 2021, that puts pressure on you because you think that that's the expectation. You know, you have that kind of on your back, and you go in feeling like, you know, that is the expectation. If you don't do that, you know, the pressure's on, and anything less than that is not good enough. And so I do think that that's kind of what happens. And I don't know if confidence is the right word, but I think it's pressure. You know, they put too much pressure on themselves to have to perform at that level instead of just enjoying the moment and going out there and performing with the confidence that they have all year long.
From last year's team, you're losing quite a few talented gymnasts, Natalie Wojciech, Abby Highschool, and Nicoletta Kulos. So obviously that means a lot of lineup spots are going to be opening up. So far what you've seen in preseason, who do you think might step up and kind of fill those roles potentially?
Right. You know, I think that is a lot of gymnastics. Those athletes were amazing, but we had a lot of talent on our team that maybe athletes that hadn't quite stepped up because they didn't see that there was a role for them, that now there is a role for them. We have athletes like Paige Thaxton, who is an incredibly talented young woman. You know, she had suffered some foot injuries and some different things, and I really see her light starting to shine and some now that she has seen some opportunity, and I really see a lot more confidence, and she's more positive every day and working really hard. And that young lady has just so much talent oozing out of every pore of her body. And we've got to keep her healthy and keep her going, but she's got a lot of opportunity. We've got, you know, Kaylin Morgan, who unfortunately is coming back from a shoulder injury that she had over the summer, but she's in the best physical shape that I've ever seen her in. And again, a really positive attitude, super enthusiastic. She's been working so hard and definitely ahead of schedule. She's just a physical specimen. And I think when she's released to be able to come back and start doing bigger gymnastics, I really have a feeling that she's going to come back fairly quickly. We're going to have to kind of hold her back and make sure that she does things at the right pace to come back to keep her healthy. But I look for really big things out of her this year. Who am I forgetting?
Farah Lippitz, we've seen in training.
Yes, thank you. Farah is a beautiful athlete. And, you know, she's the finesse. We talked a little bit the other day. She's got that Natalie Wojcik kind of...
the vibes.
Vibe about her on beam and bars. She's beautiful. Her lines are gorgeous. And, you know, again, just she's got to get some numbers under her. She had that knee injury her senior year. It's taken her a while to get strength and confidence back. It takes a while to trust when you've had something like that to happen, to trust that knee and leg and get it very strong and confident again. But, you know, I see her specifically in beam and bars being a really main contributor and a beautiful athlete this year.
And then can you speak about Carly Bauman? I know she's another person.
Absolutely. Carly, it's taken her a while too, coming back after the Achilles injury, to really trust again. She also had some subsequent issue with some, you know, I'll just say junk in her ankle that they went in and cleaned out. That's feeling so much better now. So I'm really excited to see what she's going to be able to do this year. I think that there's a great chance we see her back in the all-around lineup again. And she's just such a consistent athlete when she goes out there and competes. And just her execution is so beautiful. So yeah. Really, really looking forward to her stepping up. And she's been such an incredible leader this year for us as well.
She's one of the team captains, isn't she?
She is.
Okay. And Naomi... Gabby and Sierra, are they the captains? Mm-hmm. Talk about Gabby and Sierra coming back for the fifth year.
Yeah, really excited about them. I mean, Sierra, what do I need to say about Sierra? she's amazing in every category. She's great in the classroom. She's great in the gym. She's an amazing leader. She just is got it all. She's put together. Mm-hmm. Gabby, you know, I love to see her development from when she came in as a freshman to where she is now. She's a totally different person. She came in as a freshman. She was in the background. She was afraid to speak. She was kind of the listen, take it in, didn't really talk very much, very shy. You know, in her floor routines, it was hard to bring her out in her floor routines. And I mean, now...
night and day.
Wow. I mean, she is vocal. She is so high energy. She's so positive and enthusiastic. She's amazing. I am so excited for her. She is ready to just take on life as a strong, independent... You know, she's going to just kick some butt in whatever she decides to do in life. And in the gym this year. She is ready. And her floor routine... Man, I am so excited to see what she's going to be ready to do this year.
Yeah. Is her choreography done for this year yet?
It is. Oh my
goodness. Yeah. I can't wait.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
Is it, if it's even possible to say, is it better than her previous routines? Does it keep getting better?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, every year it just somehow gets better. So, very excited.
It's amazing.
With Sierra and Gabby, did you know last year during the season that they were going to come back? Or did they wait until, like, towards the end to make that decision?
I knew. Uh-huh. They had... you know, had to apply for their graduate programs, and I knew when they had gotten their acceptance and whatnot, but it was their story to tell. Mm-hmm. So when people were asking, you know, I just said, well, that we'll know when when they're ready when they to announce. Tell. So
yeah, that's fair. Real quickly, I want to talk about Jenna Mulligan because we were in here a couple days ago and she looks amazing. I'm like, is she gonna come for like all these lineup spots? She's doing a 1.5 on vault again and it looks great.
I'm really excited for her as well. This is a young woman who came in as a freshman and she's a great young woman. But there was just a ways between where she was when she started and where she is now. And the perseverance and the work ethic and the never quit. She is not, you know, there. You have those athletes that are just really quick learners. And then you have the athletes like Jenna who just have to work and work and work. It takes them twice as long and twice the effort, and that's Jenna. And she just never gave up, and she just worked so hard. And, you know, bars is just not her event, and we've given that up. I think
she, I noticed the other day she wasn't training
she
it.
She would so be so happy to tell you that she is retired on even bars. That is not her deal. But the other three events, she has come so far on. Her confidence on beam, her execution on beam has come so far, her difficulty on floor.
Any chance we'll see the full line on floor? I know she did that as a level 10.
You know, I don't know. We've worked that, but she has had, she's had some back things on and off and some Achilles calf things on and off. And I think at some point we want to get her in lineups. Yeah. And I don't know that doing the full in is worth risking having her sideline. Mm-hmm. And so I would probably say it's a long shot that the full in ends up seeing the lineup. I think that we have a better shot of, I would rather see her in three lineups on a more consistent basis and not do the full in. I think that's probably more our game plan. I think she would be definitely more of that opinion as well. Mm-hmm. You know, just still cleaning up, you know, let's get the cowboy a little tighter. Let's, you know, point the toes on the double pike. We're still cleaning up those kinds of little things. You're right. The 1.5 on vault has come so far in the last year. And she actually does a really good job with the landings of those. We still have the one more step is, you know, she's been doing a really good floor level on the soft mat. So we've got that one more step getting her confident landing on the harder surface. Mm-hmm.
You think it's a good possibility we'll see that this season?
Absolutely. I think it's, well, I can never guarantee anything.
Right.
but I think it's there's a very high probability.
Okay. Michigan obviously is known for vault, top vault team. Last couple of seasons, you guys have been either the top team or close to being the top team. Any other, like, 1.5, 10-0 start value potential that you want to throw out there?
You know, I think we've got some young people coming up. I think we've got a walk-on this year, Ava Jordan, who is doing a pretty decent full right now. And I don't know if we're going to have a 1.5 this year, but I think we're going to continue to work to develop that.
Yeah.
I think she is a vaulter of the future in our lineup.
Kaylin Morgan, I remember last year you said was working the 1.5. I don't know with the injury if she would still be doing that.
You know, I don't know. It just remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. She, in her elite career, she did fulls and doubles. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit like, you know, if she can go up there and go 9-9, you know, more often than not on a full, do we risk having her do a 1.5?
And her full was scoring very well last season.
Right. So I don't know. We may play with that, but that could still potentially even be a year away just because, you know, we did have a setback with the shoulder and I don't know what her comfort level is going to be with the open shoulder reaching back to the table. So that's an unknown at this point.
Okay. What about JC Vore? Obviously she's someone that has had a year chain go 1.5 in the past. Yeah. And a lot of people have been really looking forward to seeing her.
So we're really hoping, love JC. She is such a sweetheart, such a hard worker. And like many athletes, you can be a tremendous athlete and have setbacks at times. And she had a little bit of a setback with vault for we have no idea what reason, but sometimes you just wake up one day and your brain forgets that it knew how to do something that it knew how to do very, very well.
Yeah.
So she started balking. This is, you know, better than a year ago at this point on the Yurchenko vault. So we took several steps back. We even took a break from vault. We've tried several different things, and happy to report that she's been working really closely with one of our performance counselors, and she's made significant headway. She's going over the table. She's flipping. We're at a point where she's back doing some layout Yurchenkos. She was onto a mat. So I think we're headed in a really positive direction. Where that's going to take us this year, I hope it's going to be back to the regular JC that we all know and love. We know what she's capable of doing. Would love nothing more than to see her back being able to do that. And we've talked about the fact that how awesome would that be for you to know that you came, you saw, you conquered.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, in life you could always look back at that and know that you were able to conquer something that was really a challenge for you, and that if you could do that, you can conquer anything. And like, she knows that, but it's just one of those things we'll have to wait and see. So hopefully everybody will send her positive thoughts and vibes, and
yes.
Definitely not a sign of weakness. It's just something. There are many, many athletes out there that are listening to this that have gone through these kinds of things. And
I mean, we saw it with Simone at the Olympics, the twisties.
Absolutely.
And how your mind can play tricks on you.
Absolutely. And so she's working really hard to get through it. And we're seeing some great progress. Hope that she gets through it, and we'll be back out there, because we all know what she's capable of doing. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I guarantee you is that we're not going to push mm-hmm. too hard. We're going to continue to support her and encourage her and give her all of the help and time and encouragement that she needs.
Yeah. Want to ask about Reyna real quickly? Sorry, we're going like way off script.
I know.
She wasn't at practice the other day when we were here, but we heard she's looking really, really good. Can you talk about Reyna?
Yeah, Reyna's doing great. Her vault looks amazing. She's actually making some great headway on bars, which has always been her trouble point as well. Catching some releases and not ready to be in a bar lineup yet, but floor, she's got a lot of options for passes. Love her floor routine this year. And I don't know if I want to let the cat out of the bag or not, but she's got a lot of options for passes on floor this year. And if she does the routine that she's ultimately capable of, I think she'll knock some people's socks off this year. But even if she doesn't do the routine she's ultimately capable of, it's still going to be pretty darn good.
Yes.
So yeah, really excited about her as well.
I want to ask you about Mikaylee Marr. I feel like Michigan is the kind of school that doesn't typically take in a bunch of transfers, but you guys picked up Mikaylee from Penn. Talk a little bit about her and then what you think her potential is for the season.
She's been a great addition, and she's so high energy and positive and has really stepped in. It's hard, I think, as a fifth year to step in and blend into a program that is so established and has such a strong culture as our program does, but she's done it beautifully. And she reached out to us, was interested in a graduate program at our business school, which is a world-renowned business school. She was pretty much a beam and bar specialist. We looked at it, we thought, you know, hey, you could absolutely contribute in those two events to our lineups. She's such a burst of positive energy. You know, love having her. You know, it's definitely a transition. They're very different programs. And I think, you know, she would tell you that it's a transition, but she's doing great. And, you know, hope that we'll see her in some lineups this year and that we'll see what she can do for us.
How has she adjusted to this new team? I would imagine it's quite different to spend 4 years with one team and then suddenly come in and you're in a completely different environment. Has she kind of like adjusted and acclimated well with the new team?
Oh my goodness. It's like she's been here the whole time. She's so sweet and so wonderful, and the team has just absorbed her and has been really supportive of her. And yeah, they get along just like she's been here the whole time.
Perfect. And then the freshmen. So we talked to Ava Jordan. You mentioned that she potentially down the line could be like a 1.5 on vault. But any other areas you see her as well as some of the other freshmen contributing?
Yeah, I guess you're talking about the freshmen. I never mentioned Halen Zabransky, who is going to be an amazing addition to our program. She had a bit of a setback earlier this fall, had an illness. So she's had a number of weeks that she really hasn't been able to participate very much. So she's a little bit behind. I don't anticipate that really being a problem. I think when she's feeling better and her energy is all the way back to where it needs to be, I think that she's going to, you know, I think she's going to bounce right back. But she's another one that is, you mentioned about the 1.5. She's another one that I think has potential to be a 1.5 for us on vault. I think she's going to be strong on bars. She definitely will be a really high energy, strong floor performer. And, you know, I think she's potential to be ability in the all around. She just hasn't had the same opportunity to get numbers in that some of the rest of the athletes have had. So, you know, it may take her a few meets into the season to get her feet under her and a little bit more confidence as we get started here. But definitely see her being a major contributor as we get going. And then we've got another walk-on, Kaylee Boozer from Texarkana, Texas, who's got potential specifically in balance beam. And down the road, I think, has some potential in some other events as well. She's a beautiful dancer. Definitely in balance beam, she's really beautiful in that event.
When it comes to making lineups, how do you decide, like, when you want to rest somebody? How do you decide you want to throw somebody new in the lineup? Do you have, like, a strategy for your lineups?
Well, communication is a really important part of our culture here at Michigan. And so having conversations and communication on a daily basis with the athletes and counting on them to talk to me about how they feel is really critically important. And so when we're making decisions on lineups, I need to know who feels 100%, who doesn't feel 100%, because that definitely plays a role. If everybody's feeling 100% and we feel like we have, you know, we're 8 or 9 deep and we want to play with rotating some people, you know, then that's really the coach on that event. If we want to just play with some lineups, give some people opportunities, you know, we may have some different ideas or thoughts in rotating people. But if we're making changes because maybe we want to rest somebody because they're not feeling 100%, then it's really about communication and a trust that we have between our athletes and our staff that we're not taking you out because we don't trust you, or we're not taking you out because we're not going to put you back in. We're taking you out because we're giving you a rest. We want you to heal and be 100%. And when you're 100%, we will trust you and put you back in. We just don't want to put you in a position to have you be hurting more or in a position to become injured if you're, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's really that whole communication piece and wanting people to understand that, you know, we want you to be healthy and 100%, because when you get to the end of the road, you know, Big Ten's regionals, nationals, you know, a lot of times the team that can field their strongest team is the team that's going to have a best chance of winning. So if you keep fielding the team and pushing athletes that aren't 100%, you know, you beat everybody up, and then you don't have those athletes to compete or not feeling 100%. That's really not the best strategy at the end.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is this team's strength? So that could either be in terms of an event or like a personal characteristic or quality of the team, I guess, however you want to interpret that.
Wow, that's
a deep question.
That is a deep question. I'm still getting to know this team, and not, like you said, we have a lot of holes that we're going to be filling. And so I feel like I need to get in at least a couple of inter-squads to kind of see.
Have you guys done any inter-squads yet?
We have only done a couple of like event inter-squads at this point. I feel like if we're just talking top six, maybe we're strongest on vault. Okay. But yet depth-wise, probably floor and beam is where we probably have right now the most depth. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if that story has written itself yet.
Okay. What about, not necessarily a weakness, but like an area, from what you've seen so far, an area that you want to see improvements with the team?
I just think that we need continued development. I think our trajectory is going in a really positive direction. But right now, we need continued development to get to a level of depth that I feel comfortable with, to be able to say this is a team that could win a national championship. Mm-hmm. Right now we've got potential, but potential does not win championships.
Yeah.
So we need to stay healthy and we need continued development. We are not in a place right now where we can sit back and rest on our laurels. A year ago, we had enough people that were seasoned and routine ready and competition ready that, you know, we were pretty darn good. Right now, we are still developing that level of depth.
Mm, okay. And so obviously you've been around the sport for a long time. I think this is your 35th,
going into your 30th. Starting my 35th year.
Yeah. Okay. As head coach here at Michigan, you've been through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. What is the biggest lesson that you've learned so far in your time as a head coach?
That no matter how many years that you've been doing something, that you never know everything for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Started doing this when I was 23 years old.
That's crazy.
It is. And there's really not a, you know, it doesn't come with a how-to book.
Especially when you're like that young. Like 23 is really young to be the head coach.
It's very young. And things today are very, very different than they were then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like if I would have known then what I know now, do you want to go back to all those people and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, you do everything to the best of your ability, but you learn and you continue to grow. And no matter how many years you've been doing something, I have never professed to be a perfect person or a perfect coach or know everything about everything. And if you continue to be open-minded and want to continue to learn and grow and improve yourself and be better tomorrow than I was yesterday and the day before, that's, I think, what every coach's motto should be. And what I've always tried to do, you learn something from every situation that you go through and try to be a better person from it. And people talk about, now I sound like an old person, but all, like the experiences, right? Like when you say to somebody, learn from my experience, it's true.
Yeah.
Like the experiences that you have had and you have learned from, if you could just take those experiences and apply and take that back and get people to understand the importance of learning from those experiences. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's just it. Like continue to be open-minded. The minute you think, I had a coach that told me one time, the minute you think you know everything, you're done.
Yeah.
So just be open-minded and continue to learn and grow every day that you're doing something from one day to the next.
When you started at Michigan, it was nowhere near the program that it is now. I mean, I guess you could call it like a, I don't want to say a losing program, but it's not what it is now. We're like, you guys dominate the Big Ten.
I would say 2 wins and 19 losses was losing.
I was trying to be nice, okay? But yeah, it's nowhere near what it is now. Like, obviously, like, however many Big Ten titles, like, you guys dominate the Big Ten. You've won a national title. Have stayed nationally competitive. Yeah, for years and years. So if you think about, like, where you were when you first started at the age of 23, did you ever envision that the program would be what it is now? And was that your goal too?
It was definitely my goal. I mean, I was young and I was ambitious and I was enthusiastic. And the biggest thing was when I took this job, I knew it was Michigan. And this is going to sound like a recruiting spiel, but the reality is that at least I was smart enough to look at this and say, this is Michigan. Like Michigan has, number one, it has the academics to recruit strong. I knew that gymnasts are smart people.
Yeah.
Right?
This is a school they're interested in.
Right. And I can recruit to this school. And it's a big time school. It's Division I. It's got a great campus. It's a wealthy school.
Mm-hmm.
If they decide they want to support women's gymnastics, this could be really big. So I knew that it was up to me to kind of start to fuel that fire and get that going. I knew it had the makings of something that could be very successful. And I really knew that once we won our first Big Ten championship And in year four, once we got to the national championship, and once we were in that top 10, I really knew that this was a special place. I had hoped it wouldn't take 32 years to get that first national title.
Better late than never.
But absolutely, I'm not complaining. Just really proud that we did it, and we did it, you know, the right way. And super unbelievably special moment that I'll never forget. Would like to, you know, have at least a pair of those, one for each hand at least.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, you know, yeah, I knew this was a special place when I took this job, but I knew it would be a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to Lisa and Scott. They've been with you almost the entire time. Lisa has
absolutely
been the entire time, right? And Scott for most of it.
Lisa has been with me all but 2 years. So yeah. This will be 35 years for me and 33 years for Lisa, and cannot give her enough credit. I say she's the MVP of my team every year. We can finish each other's sentences. She's incredible. We work incredibly well together, have the same philosophy in terms of the health and well-being of our student athletes. So yeah, she's been an amazing person to have with me on this journey, and Scott as well. He hasn't been quite as long, but one of the best, uneven bar for sure, but I think, you know, coaches in general.
Scott makes everybody an uneven bars worker.
Yeah, he really can. And, you know, we laugh because sometimes we're recruiting and, you know, we'll be looking at somebody and it's like, wow, this kid is a really good beam worker. And, you know, not quite as good on bars, be a little bit of a project, but, you know, that's all right, Scott. Like,
Scott's got it. We're good.
Not a problem for you. You know, funny story was when Nicole Arts came to Michigan, she said, oh my gosh, I'll never compete bars at Michigan. And then she ended up being the uneven bars Big Ten champion.
And wasn't she like the anchor at one point too? Like, she was the last one in the lineup, I'm pretty
sure.
Like, yeah. She was like considered one of the best ones.
Yeah.
That's
and
so
his,
funny.
Some of his claim to fame is that how many athletes have come here saying, like, no, I'll never do, you know, an E dismount. And, like, you know, within a year or 2 years at the most, they're, like, doing E dismounts on bars. So, yeah, he just has some kind of a magical...
Yeah, he's a magician.
...touch over there on bars. But in that, you know, the addition of Myliana has been amazing as well. Her choreography skills are incredible. Just the new energy that she brings... You know, just the ideas and the, you know, she relates incredibly well to the athletes.
Well, before you got here, we were talking to her, even just like how unique it is that she's someone who won multiple national championships as an athlete. And then she came here and helped you guys win on the coaching staff. And we're pretty sure she's the only one, we're going to have to fact check this, but we're pretty sure she's the only one that's done that, like that has won a national title as an athlete and then also as a coach. So she has that like really unique perspective that like nobody else has, I feel like.
Yeah. And she's just an amazing human being as well. Have really, really enjoyed being able to coach with her and see her mature into someone that I think is going to be an amazing future head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I have also really enjoyed our new fourth coach, Callie. Cat, well, it's not Harden anymore, but...
Yeah, just got married.
Yeah, she just got married this year, but...
People might know her. She's from Eastern Michigan.
She
Callie Harden.
She competed at Eastern Michigan. She grew up in my hometown of Saline. Mm-hmm. And she has been such a pleasant, I don't want to say a surprise because it's not like I didn't expect her to be good, but she has exceeded any expectations that I could have had for her. Just maturity level off the charts and just such a like a jump in and initiative and like just get it done personality and not intimidated at all to just jump out there and interact with the athletes. The athletes respect her for her corrections and what she's giving in the gym, but also like what she's done in the office and you know, my father had a health issue earlier this summer and I was gone, and Miley was holding down the fort with preparations for recruiting, and Callie jumped right in there and was just like, I came back and everything was done. And I was like, man, you know, you guys are amazing. It just made me feel incredible that, like, I had this staff that was like, no problem.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am blessed to have the staff that I do. I definitely could not do this without the team effort. And yeah, just incredibly blessed. I love my athletes. I love my staff, including our support staff. Our strength and conditioning coach, Lou Porciazzo, is absolutely amazing. My athletes love him. I don't know how many athletes love to condition, but my team loves to condition with Lou.
Weird.
I really have a special group of people here.
We're doing a series on our podcast right now where we talk to athletes who are going through the recruiting process or just completed the recruiting process. And so something that we want to ask all the coaches that we're going to be talking to in our coaches series is about recruiting, and what do you look for when you're recruiting an athlete to Michigan?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, obviously the first thing that we do before we get to know anybody is, you know, there's a pool of athletes that are pulled together based on talent. Once they're pulled together based on talent and we start, you know, looking at them at a deeper level, you know, some of the first things that are important to us are, what is their passion for the sport of gymnastics on a legitimate level? Because we really want people that love gymnastics and want to continue to learn and grow in the sport of gymnastics. You know, it's also important to us that they are interested in being part of a family and being part of a team. Individual accolades are really cool and fun, and they do add to the team. But if you are competing for the team, the individual accolades come as a secondary part of competing for the team. So here our culture is very much part of a family and team first, and we celebrate for sure the individual accolades, but it's really about the team and having a selfless attitude. It is so much more fun to compete as part of a team and to be part of, you know, that kind of a family atmosphere than it is to be in more of an individual kind of, like, what's in it for me, kind of a feeling. You know, somebody that is where education's important. You know, sometimes people are intimidated by the level of education at Michigan, and that is not
literally you.
That is not.
I relate to that.
You know, that is not something that people should be intimidated by, because the academic support that we have available for our student athletes is really impressive. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it's a cakewalk, but we have had athletes that's very high achieving, and we have had athletes that we had to go to an appeals process to be able to get into school, and they have all achieved at a high level.
Yeah.
But it's about wanting to get something out of your education.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm curious about NIL. That's, I feel like, another layer that's been added to things that recruits are looking for some athletes. Depends on who they are, I guess. But do you feel like this whole NIL world, has that been any challenge for you guys in the recruiting process?
I am really supportive of people who are interested in NIL and who want to be a part of NIL. I don't go out there and I'm not like, hey, we're going to give you $1 million to come to, you know, Michigan and whatever, because I think we have more important things. We're not going to give you, but you're going to get a Michigan degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to sustain you financially for the rest of your life. That's not just going to give you a pot of money that you're going to spend and then it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
But if you are interested in NIL, we have an incredible NIL program. We have people through our business school that are there to be able to, it's a whole entire program. I can't really speak to it intelligently right now, but mm-hmm. People that are there that can help with legal can help with branding, can help with all this other stuff.
So you guys do have NIL resources.
We have NIL resources, and as much as you want to put into it, we can support that, and I am supportive of that. So we have had people that are really successful in the NIL space.
I'm literally wearing my Sierra Brooks t-shirt right now. Very fitting. Speaking
people
of NIL.
People that are very successful in the NIL space, and Michigan is only going to continue to, you know, become more and more and more prominent in that space.
Yeah. I want to ask you about UCLA and Washington joining the Big Ten next season. Your thoughts on that and how you think it could impact the conference as a whole?
I think the Big Ten is going to become the premier conference in the country. I have always had the philosophy that you're only as good as the people you compete against. We have always gone and competed against the top teams in the country. So I embrace the fact that we're bringing more of some, you know, the stronger teams in the country into our own conference. And I don't think that in general, in that conversation, I don't think that we're done. You know, I have no insider information, but I hear people talk all the time about, you know, we're going to have these super conferences. And so
we need a conference that's more competitive with the SEC. And I feel like with UCLA and Washington coming, it could make things a little bit more competitive with the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And the Big Ten currently as it exists is incredible.
Really stepped it up.
Michigan State, incredible. Yeah. Like Ohio Iowa. State. Yep. So yeah. I feel like the Big Ten is going to really change the game with gymnastics.
Yeah. So I love it. The only thing that's going to be hard about it is the transportation back and forth across the country. But I love the fact that we're welcoming in, you know, some other teams. And I've even heard rumors that there may be some other programs considering adding programs that would be in the Big Ten. So
that would be exciting. Okay, so our last question, unless there's anything else you have to add, is if I could give you a magic wand and you could change anything about college gymnastics, what would it be and why?
Change anything about college gymnastics?
I feel like there's so many answers to this. I don't know how many you'd be willing to say. I have a bunch in my head.
give me some hints at what yours are.
Oh, I'm thinking like scoring. Like, I mean, I know you probably can't like speak specifically, but just like fair judging.
Yeah. Oh, well, that probably would be at the top of my list. If there was some way to be able to automate, and I am not saying, I personally believe that the largest majority of our officials sit in those chairs and try to do a really good job. Mm-hmm. I think that they're conscientious. I think they work hard on their education. I think they really try to do a good job. I think that there's only a few that get caught up whatever. But, you know, it's like anything else, right? You know, everybody sees when there is a whoopsie and, you know, somebody takes a 3/10 hop on a vault and they
get a 10.
They get a high score. And what I think is a shame, however, though, is this social media thing where everybody goes crazy. And I don't think that anybody, including an official who made a mistake, should get, you know,
ripped to shreds online.
Ripped to shreds or death threats or whatever in the world is happening. That shouldn't be happening. I do believe, however, that there should be some kind of an evaluation system for the officials. There should be accountability. I don't know of any other sport out there where there is not an evaluation system where officials are accountable for their performance.
Do you guys have any control over what judges you get for your meets? Because that's something I've heard, and I don't know if it's a misconception, but that like some schools or some conferences, like these judges are getting like, I don't know if money is the right word, but like basically there's reasons why like these certain judges keep going back to certain schools. I guess I don't know
We have a national assigning system called the JAS, the Judges Assigning System. We have one national assigner. And underneath that assigner, there are either 7 or 8 regional assigners. Those assigners, we put our schedules into the JAS system. Those assigners, like I think the assigner that assigns for us probably has, I don't know, 7 or 8 schools, and the schedules go in and that assigner goes through, there's a date, and then they go in and they assign officials. So I have absolutely nothing to do with...
And that's probably the same for all schools, I'm imagining then?
Yes.
Okay.
Now there's schools with small, like D2, or like there, you know, there's in theory 50% of the officials are supposed to be from within a 200-mile radius, and that's like a cost containment type thing. And then the other 50% are supposed to be from out of area, which means outside of 200 miles. And so for some schools, that's, you know, from wherever, no limit. And some of the D2 might have some exceptions to that for budgetary reasons and whatnot. But some schools can't have, like, can't fly, you know, whatever. But it's supposed to be an anonymous, or I don't know, whatever, like a neutral way of being able to bring in judges. But it's not a perfect system by any stretch. And judges also, a lot of them have other jobs. And so they, you know, they may have, like, I work Friday till 6, or I'm not willing to fly, so I can only go this far. Or so there's all of these different criteria that are in the system for how this assigning system works. So again, it's not a perfect system, but it's better than the good old days when we used to call somebody up on the phone and say, hey, I want you to judge my blah, blah, blah meet.
Oh, that used to happen?
Oh, yeah.
So when did that stop?
I was actually the one that created and started and... this national signing system. I can't tell you what year. It's been in place now for a while. It's been tweaked and changed and whatever. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to guess at least 15 years, maybe 20 years.
Okay.
But, yeah, there was...
So you're telling me that you and, like, all coaches would, like, call up the judges and be like, that is so weird to me.
Yeah. We would look at our schedule, and then I'd had a list, and I would call and say, you know, hey, I have a meet against... Michigan State on February 4th, are you available to judge? And they would say yes or no, and then I would put them down. And
so did you have to know the judges then, or did you have like a book of all judges that
we had some kind of a database, and but yeah, you called judges that you knew liked, or
that's so not okay.
Right. I mean, can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine Jim Harbaugh or Ryan Day calling up the football officials and, hey, would you come officiate our Michigan Ohio State football game? Never would happen. We've come a long way from those days, but still definitely not perfect. But to your question, I would love to figure out a way to be able to make judging completely fair and neutral across the country so that a 9-8 at Michigan is a 9-8 at anywhere else in the country, right? But as long as you have a human being who has a subjective opinion, you know, sitting in chair, like, I just don't know how that is realistically possible. I think we can try to do whatever we can do with education and whatever, but like people that get online and say the things that they say, I really do believe in my heart of hearts that the largest percentage of our officials sit in those chairs and they're trying very hard to do the job that we're asking them to do.
Yeah.
I do think that there are outside factors that can influence or can, you know, whatever. But I don't think that it's, as much as people think that it is like, she's cheating for that school or she's, you know, whatever. And it bothers me that we're so brave to say anything that we want to say on social media. And to a large degree, we have judges that are reluctant now to want to judge college gymnastics because of what's being said about them on social media. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to be what's happening in our sport. Yeah. I want judges to feel safe, to be able to sit in a chair and judge a meet and give a fair score.
Yes.
But I want them to also feel confident to take deductions.
Yes. No matter how loud the crowd is cheering.
Because before, like now we're upset, right, that they're not taking deductions. But let's rewind, 10 years. I also remember times when we would go to meets and if judges took deductions and gave scores, they got booed. Yeah. In arenas, I can remember judges having ice cubes thrown at them, popcorn boxes thrown at them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would never happen, I feel like, nowadays.
So,
with security and all that.
So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, in a way, we've created,
an environment where you can't win.
Right. We've created the situation by... And I'm not saying it's all fans. It's coaches' behavior and whatnot as well.
Yeah.
But we have to figure this all out. And there's not an easy solution to it all.
So if you had a magic wand, that's what you'd do.
If I had a magic wand, I would figure out a way to create a safe environment for judges to be able to have fair, neutral judging where it would be the same no matter what part of the country they were in. And so that the right teams not only won at an individual competition, but that the right teams would be placed by RQS across the country.
Yep. Good answer. Yeah. So on this, we'll give you the final word. Is there anything else that you want to say? Anything you want people to know about the team this year? Anything you want to add?
I love my team. I am excited to see what we're going to be able to do this year. We're maybe not as experienced as we have been in the last couple of years, but I'm, as a coach, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what kind of development we're going to be able to show this year and where we're going to start versus where we're going to be in the middle versus where we're going to be at the end. And so stay tuned and go Blue.
First of all, we want to say thank you so much to Bev for taking the time to come on our show and being so generous with her time. I feel like we talked for, I think, a little over an hour. We came in with like a list of 10 questions and then we ended up asking like 50 questions. That's just what happens when we start talking about Michigan because we get very excited, as you all know. So thank you to Bev for being so generous with her time. And I always love having the coach's perspective when we are doing previews like this. So it's great. Now, in the back half of this episode, as promised, we're going to be doing our Michigan season preview. So, and I mentioned this in last week's episode, but somebody had actually submitted a question on our question tab specifically about Michigan and wanted to know our thoughts with, Natalie Wojcik and Abby High School and Nicoletta Kulos graduating and some new faces coming into Michigan's lineups and what we think of the team and, what Michigan's chances are like this season. So we were putting off answering that question because we knew that at some point we were going to be diving deep into it with our season preview. So now is the time. Yeah, and I think that Michigan's lineups are going to look a little bit different last year. Like you said, when you lose someone like Natalie Wojcik and Abby High School, first of all, those are two of the best all-arounders in the country from the past 4 or 5 years. And then you have Nicoletta Kulos, who really, I feel like as her career went on, just continued to get better and better. And in my opinion, her senior season was her best season. She was contributing on bars, beam, and floor and bringing in pretty high scores consistently on that event. So,
yeah. So it ends up being, a pretty big loss.
Yeah, I don't think any program can have that kind of talent walk away and then immediately expect to just be at the same level. Like, no matter who you are, what program, losing that level of talent is going to be tough.
And it requires some rebuilding, I would say.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we're going to see with Michigan starting with this season. I think there's a lot of new faces that you're going to be seeing in the lineup, but new isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I know that last season people were really worried about what was going to happen with Michigan's lineups with, so many people graduating, but I think there's going to be a lot of people on Michigan's team that are going to surprise you this season. And also just throughout the rest of their careers, as they go on and continue to develop, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by what Michigan has to bring. And I think we're going to start seeing that a lot this season. Of course, we have to mention Michigan is very, very happy and very lucky to be getting Sierra Brooks and Gabby Wilson back for their fifth years. Again, along with Natalie Wojcik and Abby Highschool, two of the top all-arounders in the country. So they're very lucky to retain that from last season. And then they also have Naomi Morrison coming back, who is also a person who can bring in huge scores across the board. So those are going to be some of the bigger names that you see from last year's lineup transfer right over to this season. But then there's plenty of people that are either new, which the freshmen we'll get into in a second, but then there's also people like Carly Ballman, who you've seen a lot on Bars and Beam because she's absolutely phenomenal.
And but, so consistent.
Yeah. But I think that she's going to be doing even more this season. So she had an Achilles tear right before the 2022 season began. So we haven't seen her do vault or floor in quite a while. But
prior to that injury, she was doing training, I should say, a 1.5 on vault that was looking great. Her floor was looking great.
Yeah, so she was originally doing a tucked full in. I don't think we're going to see that anymore. She's been training a front double twist on floor, but still an E-pass and
very, very clean.
Yeah, I mean, her technique is like chef's kiss. So good. So I think that Carly being an all-arounder is something that people are going to want to keep their eyes on because she has huge scoring potential across the board.
And this is something that we've been talking about, I feel like, since she got injured. Like, we've been waiting for this moment when she was going to come back in, step into the all-around, and be like the consistency all-around queen that we know she's capable of
being. And she was so good last year on Bars and Beam, but with Achilles tears, it usually does take a little bit longer to get back on vault and floor. So I think that this is finally going to be the season where we see her shining in the all-around. Well, I'm super excited about.
I also think the issue, and I guess a quote unquote issue, with Michigan's lineups the past several seasons is because they've had so much depth and so much talent on their team, it hasn't left room, but also the need for some of these athletes that were injured to come back super quick.
Exactly.
Like, they didn't necessarily need Carly on ball last season. They didn't need her on floor. Like, sure, that's great. Like, if, you know, she's looking really great and they could throw her in, that'd be perfect. But I just don't think that they felt there was a need to really push her to be in the all-around last season. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this season there'll be more of a need for that.
Absolutely.
So, and that's an area I expect her to be in.
And Jenna Mulligan, we have been so excited about.
You guys, she looks so good. She's somebody who has kind of always been like in the background. She's never been the kind of person that's like, you know, guaranteed to be in a lineup, or, you know, you can put her in and she's gonna get a 9-9.
Yeah, she's never really been considered to be the star.
But I will say, watching the 1.5s that she was doing in practice.
Yeah, because we went to practice a week before we did this interview with Bev.
So it's like 2 weeks ago now with this, right?
Yeah.
And the 1.5s that she was doing in practice, she nailed every one of them. Like, I'm pretty sure the first one that she did, she stuck. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them were, like, small little hops forward. They're still working on getting it, like, obviously on the competition surface. But in terms of, you know, getting the ball around, she has a safe landing on it. Execution has improved tenfold since her level 10 days.
Yeah, so she did that her senior season of level 10. And it was almost kind of like a Yurchenko 1.5 tucked. Like, she had a pretty bad knee bend on it, but that is cleaned up so much.
It's like basically gone.
Yeah.
And Jenna, if you're listening to this, we are so proud of you. It looks so good. We cannot wait. I think she's in the vault lineup this season. I have her locked in, you guys.
Yeah. So Brittany and I have a little spreadsheet going with all of the top teams, and we have our lineup predictions. And we have Jenna locked in the vault lineup, and she's done vaults in the past. She's done the Yurchenko full, and she's been kind of the depth person. Like, she goes in when they're resting somebody else, but I don't think she's that girl anymore. I think she's in.
I think she's the girl that's in. And then same with floor. Mm-hmm. As of right now, in my personal lineup, and I feel awkward saying this because I know Bev and the coaches are probably listening to this. So here's my lineup prediction. I actually have Jenna in the floor lineup at this moment as well.
Yeah. So she's been really, really consistent. She's the kind of person, honestly, you could put her up in like the leadoff spot, and you know she's gonna go up there and get you like a 9-8 plus score, and maybe even higher. I think she's been looking really, really great. Her execution is improving. That's something Bev mentioned in the interview, just, you know, continuing to work on pointing toes and squeezing legs together and the little details. But yeah, I think Jenna Mulligan is gonna surprise a lot of people, and she looks good on beam as well. Like, mm-hmm. She's never been in the beam lineup. She exhibitioned once, I think, last year, if I'm not mistaken, at Michigan State. But, and she may have another point, maybe I'm not remembering, but she hasn't been in the lineup, I know that. And I think there's a possibility she could maybe even sneak into the lineup here and there on that event as well, if she's consistent. So yes. Very, very excited to see all the progress that she's making in the gym. And Farrah Lippitz is another one that we have been so, so excited about. It's been a while since she's competed. She had an ACL tear her senior year of high school right at the beginning of the season. So it's been a really long time since Farrah's actually got the chance to compete. But
and so I think because of that, she came into college kind of underrated.
I'm telling you guys, she's coming. She's coming and she looks phenomenal.
Especially on bars and beam.
Yeah. We kept saying this to Bev. She reminds us so much of Natalie Wojcik. Like her lines, her toe point, just so good.
Yeah, just the way she moves on beam, her dance.
I think there's potential for her on floor as well. But I think particularly on bars and beam, I can see her potentially being in the lineups this season if she's being consistent in practice.
Oh, definitely. I think so.
So super excited about her. And then, of course, there's Kaylin Morgan. We saw bits and pieces of her last season, primarily on vault. I do think that, you know, like Bev said, with the shoulder injury, it's going to take a little bit for her to come back in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, sounds like they don't plan on having her unless she gets like super ahead of schedule in terms of recovering from her shoulder surgery. But by mid-season, I definitely think she'll be in multiple lineups. Bars, I think, is a strong event for her. Honestly, every event. Mm-hmm. She's really, really good. The coaches speak so highly of her.
Yeah, I think Kaylin is like the star of the future. When I think about the coming years of Michigan gymnastics, I see Kaylin being kind of like the it girl, the girl that everyone drafts number one on their fantasy team. I see her being that girl.
And she's someone that has potential to have a 1.5 on vault. We saw that a little bit prior to season last year. But I think with that shoulder issue and just the timeline trying to get back on the other events, like Bev said, might not be something that they risk this season. But
I mean, her Yurchenko full was really nice as well. I mean, Michigan last year had the ability to have a full 10-0 start value lineup. And in the end, ended up going with Kaylin on ball with her Yurchenko full.
Because she was scoring 9-9s every week.
So clean. Her stick rate was pretty good. So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad about the full being in the lineup either. Not everything has to be your Yurchenko 1.5. I think we get a little Yurchenko 1.5 happy.
We do.
Like, we just want Yurchenko 1.5s everywhere all the time. But I think it's okay to have a really nice full, especially when you're doing it well.
Like, yeah, it's kind of like the KJ Johnson strategy for LSU.
Yeah.
If you have someone that can do a really nice clean full and has a high stick rate, that's basically guaranteed to go 9.85, 9.9 every week, you might as well do it.
Exactly.
So that's something to look for, I would say, like mid-season.
And then there's JC, of course. JC didn't really see a whole lot of action last year, and I think it was mostly just because, like we kind of mentioned with Carly on vault and floor, I feel like there was so much talent and so much depth on Michigan's team
that unless you were like really, really super consistent in scoring, like, you know, 9.85 range, 9.9 plus, you probably weren't going to see consistent lineup action.
Yeah, which JC can do that for sure, but
I think it was hard to make an argument for her in like the bar or beam lineup and take out someone like what? Natalie Wojcik? Like, you know right. What I mean? Like, I just don't think they had the room in their lineups.
But now they do.
They do this year.
We're going to see a lot more of her this season, and I'm super excited about that. Bars, she's done quite a bit. Beam, I'm obsessed with her on beam.
Her beam is very underrated.
Yeah. And then floor, we haven't seen a whole lot of floor as well, but I think she has strong potential on that event. And then vault, keeping our fingers crossed on. You heard Bev talk about the mental block that she had and is still kind of working to overcome. We went in the gym a couple times last season, and just to see the progress now, it's so relieving to see that she's going over the table, because at one point she was not. She would run up to the vault and then stop, or she would go over the vault if she had the mat on it, but wouldn't actually do it without the mat. So
to see her going over the table and doing timers now is like a massive step.
Yeah, so super,
it's been a long process.
Yeah, super happy to see that she was going over the table, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we'll get to see her, you know, maybe later in the season on vault or
next season. I feel like Michigan's philosophy has always been don't push it if you don't need to, and I think that applies to JC on vault as well. Like, looking at the talent that they have in their vault lineup already, you have Gabby Wilson, Sierra Brooks, Naomi Morrison that are pretty much locks, Jenna Mulligan with her 1.5, you have Raina Gugino that doesn't 1.5, you have Carly Bauman who's expected to have a 1.5, you have some freshmen with some potential. So I think that like they have options, that there's not really a need to quickly get someone like JC back into that lineup. I'd rather have her be healthy physically but also mentally, obviously,
and be safe about it and not push it
and just be ready for next season on that event. So, but we are rooting for
her. But we're not gonna be mad. Like, if she has the 1.5 and she's ready to go this season, then like bring it on. I'm not gonna say no to it.
really, really excited to see the potential that JC's going to bring to the table this season. Yep, and you mentioned Reyna on vault. We heard that her vaults have been looking better and higher than ever before. She wasn't at practice the day that we were in. I think she had class, but super, super excited to see her back on vault this season and floor as well. She's, you know, phenomenal on floor, and Bev kind of gave some hints there about maybe potential upgrades in her routine. So super, super excited for her. I think she's going to be another person that can bring in those big scores and also has the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that she's already a senior. Like, I feel like her and her class were just freshmen. Then again, oh my God, we say that about everybody. So, I mean, to be fair, like, I feel like this one, I think it's because of COVID, though. I feel like COVID threw everything off. And she would be the class that came in right after COVID. So I feel like
this is the class that when Michigan won the national championship in 2021, Reyna, Naomi, Jenna, Carly, they were freshmen. So
crazy to think about.
Man, I hate time. Time is a weird thing.
It is.
But yeah, super excited for Reyna. And then who else haven't we mentioned? Paige Thaxton, I think, is someone who is continuing to get better and better and has a lot of potential. I think for her, the biggest thing is just staying healthy. I think as a level 10, she was phenomenal. She had a Yurchenko 1.5 on vault. She had a double layout and a tucked full in on floor. So she was a powerhouse.
In the same routine.
Yes.
Like she did
that. She wasn't alternating.
In the same routine. Which is basically unheard of.
And I don't think that we're going to see that. So I think if we do see Paige this season, people should know that she's probably not going to be doing that.
I think
staying healthy is the biggest thing for her.
I think this was said off the podcast, but either Bev or Miley said that their plan for her is to just do like a double pike, double tuck routine and not necessarily focus on the E-pass, at least right now at this point in time, because of her ankles. Mm-hmm. So, but definitely someone that I think we'll see contending for a spot in the vault and floor lineup this season.
Mm-hmm. And she looks pretty good on beam as well, from what we've seen of her. I mean, I'm not mad about her as a beam option too.
Yeah, so. I feel like every time I've seen her on beam, she's nailing a triple series.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, queen, go off.
So I also think there's some freshmen that can work their way into the conversation as well.
Yeah, there's Kaylee Boozer. She's a Texas State national champion on beam from last year.
Beautiful beam worker.
Absolutely beautiful on that event. I think she's a depth option for them. Could make it in the lineup as well. I guess we'll see. She wasn't at practice the day we were in either, so mm-hmm. I haven't seen her in person yet on beam, but with who I think is in the beam lineup and contending for spots, I think that Kaylee would likely squeeze into a depth role, at least for this season.
There's also Halen Zabrowski, who I think has potential to be, I don't want to say like an all-arounder, like I don't think she's necessarily going to be competing all around in her freshman season, but she's somebody who could step up on any given event, on any given day.
Yeah, I feel like she doesn't really have a weak event. Like she could, in theory, go in any event at any time. Also somebody that was training a 1.5 coming into college, so.
Mm-hmm. And Ava Jordan, we were so impressed by her when we were in the gym. On vault, she is training Yurchenko 1.5,
but actually has a really, really nice fall.
Yeah.
I remember when she committed to Michigan, I was looking up some videos of her, and one of the things I remember noting was how clean and big her Yurchenko fall was. Mm-hmm. She has a really nice block, honestly kind of reminiscent of Abby High School, dare I say. Like, she has a really nice block, which leads to a really great vault. So, definitely someone to look for in the future, and other events as well.
Yeah.
Bars.
Bars, she looked really, really good, and beam, she's really beautiful as well.
Yeah, Miley's the beam coach. She was speaking very, very highly of her on beam and her potential. So I think that's somebody that will definitely be contending for a spot in that lineup. She was at level 10 nationals this past year and got fourth on beam. So.
And then, of course, Mikaylee Marr, who is the transfer from Penn, a bar and beam specialist. She actually has a career high of 9.925 on bars and a 9.95 on beam.
So huge potential there, and someone that I think will be vying for spots as well. So something that we like to ask the coaches that we're interviewing for the series is what they personally view as the strongest event and potentially the weakest event for their team. And it's always interesting to compare it with, I guess, what we've determined their strongest and weakest event to be.
Which I think with Michigan, I don't really see a particular weak point or necessarily an event that's like, oh my God, that event, they're going to be like number one in the country.
Yeah, like it's pretty even across the board in terms of what they're capable of. I think the biggest question mark is going to be, you know, when you have so many new faces stepping into a lineup and not as many people that have experience competing week in and week out, I think that leaves the door open. It leaves some, I guess, unanswered questions about
how they're going to compete.
Yeah, you just never quite know how those athletes are going to show up on competition day and how consistent they're going to be. So I think that, if anything, in general, could be the weakness for Michigan is just the unknown.
Looking at specific events, vault, they're losing two Yurchenko 1.5s with Natalie and Abby High School, but they're gaining two more with Jenna Mulligan and Carly Bauman being back in the lineup. So I say back in the lineup. She never was in the lineup. Being in the lineup for the first time with the Yurchenko 1.5, hopefully. But, you know, they have the ability to have a full lineup of 10-0 start values and a couple depth options that have Yurchenko 1.5s as well. But in my opinion, the vault lineup is the most clear-cut out of all Michigan's lineups. Like, I feel like you have Sierra Brooks, Gabby Wilson, and Naomi Morrison that, in my opinion, are locks. Like, they're, you know, knock on wood, unless something horrible happens, like an injury, like, those three are in that vault lineup. I also personally have Jenna Mulligan in my lineup.
One, Reyna. Reyna's been pretty consistent in her career as well.
Yeah, Reyna struggled with inconsistencies a little bit last year and was actually taken out, and that's when they put Kaylin Morgan in with her full. But if you look at the entirety of Reyna's career, her 1.5 historically has been really good, high scoring. She's gotten 10, 9.975s, 9.95s. Like, she's capable of bringing in a really big score. So we've heard that she's looking good. I expect her to be on that event.
Yeah, I see vault. Vault has been Michigan's strong point for a while now, and I still see that being a really good event for them this season.
Nobody can churn out a big, powerful 1.5 like a Michigan girly.
Right. For bars, I think you have some really solid athletes like Sierra Brooks, Gabby Wilson, and Carly Bauman in the lineup that you know you can count on.
Returning from last year as well.
Yep, and then Naomi Morrison and JC Vohr have been in the lineup at various points in their careers as well, and I think can bring in a consistent score. And then I think Farrah Lippitz has a lot of potential for bars, and it's going to really depend on how she competes and if she's consistent, of course. But
from what we've seen, we really like it, and we think that she is heavily in contention for a spot in that event. Mikaylee Marr is as well.
Yeah, Mikaylee Marr, Kaylin Morgan, when her shoulder is 100% good and ready to go. So, you know, there's options on bars, and I think being
Ava Jordan. I would also put her in there.
Yes, she's looked fantastic from what we've seen. So Beam, I was going to say, I think they have probably the most depth on Beam, and Bev said that as well.
Pretty much everybody on the team could theoretically contend for the Beam lineup.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, again, consistency. Well, first of all, health. Duh. Like, health is always a thing that we're talking about. Who's healthiest, and also who is able to, like, turn it on meet day when the pressure's on and hit a consistent Beam routine? Because I think in terms of, like, quality and execution, the entire team could do Beam in theory.
Yeah.
I have Sierra Brooks, Gabby Wilson, Carly Bauman as locks in this lineup. They are returning from last year's lineup.
Yep. JC Vohr, Farrah Lippitz, Mikaylee Marr. Those are some names that I think are going to be in, you know, strong contention for that lineup. Naomi Morrison, Kaylin Morgan, we mentioned Jenna Mulligan, you know, Ava Jordan, we mentioned her as well.
Paige Thaxton, Kaylee Boozer, that's her best event.
Yeah.
Kaylin.
So, yeah. I really think this is the event where Michigan's entire team could, in theory, be contending for the lineup.
And I feel like for those of you who play Fantasy Gym, it might not be helpful to hear us say the entire team can make the Beam lineup, because you're like, that's not helpful to me. I need to know who to draft. If you want my personal opinion, obviously I'm not on the coaching staff, so I don't make these decisions and I don't have all of the knowledge, but from what I have seen and just my opinion, I obviously, like I said, Sierra Brooks, Gabby Wilson, Carly Bauman, I think they're pretty much, in my opinion, locked in that Beam lineup.
Farrah Lippitz at this point in time, I think she's a really strong yes for the Beam lineup.
As is Mikaylee Marr and JC Vohr, with, I think, healthy Kaylin Morgan and Naomi Morrison kind of also contending for those spots. Those are, in my opinion at this moment, who I have on my mental Beam team. But I also think with inter squads coming up, Michigan will have two more. They'll have one at the end of November that's like an in-gym inter squad that we're hoping to go to. And then they also have one in Chrysler at the beginning of December. So I think we'll get some more clarity then as well, and actually be able to see some of these athletes in action doing like full routines.
Mm-hmm. So if you had to pick a strongest event for Michigan, would you agree that it's probably Beam, just for depth and the amount of options that they have?
I think so. I think Beam or Vault.
Yeah, is where my mind goes. Also, Floor. We haven't mentioned Floor. They have a strong lineup there as well. Returning Sierra Brooks, Gabby Wilson, and Naomi Morrison. Oof. Three really, really consistent.
That's a good oof.
Like three punch at the end of the lineup. Those three are really the people that you would want to have up. So that's great.
We mentioned Jenna being really consistent and kind of the person that can go at the beginning of the lineup and really get a solid score to kind of set the momentum. Reyna's also been in the beginning of the lineup in her career. And
she's kind of like that leadoff person.
Yeah.
She's consistent.
She's done well with that.
So much better too. Her tumbling's higher. Legs are a little bit straighter. Like I've seen some subtle improvements in Reyna on that event in particular throughout her career. And I really feel like we were starting to see that towards the end of last season. Like I remember watching her Big Ten floor routine for some reason and thinking like, wow, like she's really good on floor. Like, yeah. I think it, like, hit me in that moment.
Little improvements, but definitely noticeable if you pay super close attention like yeah. you do.
We notice everything. So, yeah, I definitely think she's in contention for a lineup spot. Carly Ballman as well.
I think the lineups, for the most part, are probably going to be very similar to what they were last year, minus, like, two or three spots in each event. And you're going to have those new faces, depending on how they do in the gym. Those are the ones that you're going to see, maybe even going in and out of the lineups. Like, I don't think there's necessarily going to be, like, a... that person's in the lineup 100%.
They have options this year, which I think is a great thing. But overall, I'm really excited to see what this team can bring to the table. I think this is going to be another really strong season for Michigan.
For sure. I think this is going to be a team that, once again, is in really strong contention to win another Big Ten title. I think that nationally, they're still going to remain relevant. They're going to be in the conversation to make it to the NCAA championships and making a push for the Final Four. And, you know, being in that conversation at the end, that's what every team at this level is striving to do, and I think Michigan definitely still has the makings to be that team.
We mentioned this in our episode on Monday this week, and we're going to mention it again here. We have a spreadsheet for our gold level Patreons where you can see the full roster, career highs, season averages, upgrades that people have been training,
when we last saw a gymnast on a given event.
And also our lineup predictions for
pretty much every top team. We did the top 20 and then a couple other teams that would be of interest to people. Like we did Clemson because it's their first season. Auburn obviously didn't have the best ending to their season, but is normally a team in the top 20.
And I also want to be clear, because I feel like what you just said is confusing. We did lineups for the top 10 teams out of those, but we covered the career highs, the upgrades, season averages, when we last saw them, all injuries. Of that. Injuries, yep, for the top 20 teams plus Clemson and Auburn.
And this is helpful for people that do fantasy gymnastics, just to have kind of all the information that you could want or need when you're drafting or deciding who to draft right in front of your face. We've been starting to draft for Fantasy Gym, and... referenced our own sheet many, many times.
It's been helpful. So if that's something that you're interested in, we will have a link to our Patreon down below.
As of the time of recording this, it's not published yet, but it's very, very, very...
This episode that you're listening to went live on Thursday, and I think we're planning on having this spreadsheet live on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
I would say Sunday at the absolute latest.
It's very, very close, so stay tuned.
Check back in a couple days. That does it for this week's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And as always, we like to end by thanking our gold level Patreon supporters. So a big thank you to Steve I, Dana, Kyle M, Alex M, Jenna A, ML, Katie C, MSU, Kimberly G, Randy B, Emily B, Kathleen R, Lucy S, Becca S, Blake B, Cookie Master, Faith, Kristen R, Lori S, Sabrina M, Amy C, Sunflam, Erica S, M, Derek H, Martin, Paul M, Krista, Jasmine, and Lee B. Thank you so much for continuing to support our show each month at the highest tier level. We seriously love and appreciate you guys so, so much. If you are interested in supporting our podcast, we always have a link in the show notes down below to our Patreon page where you can see the perks of each tier level and how you can join.
If you're a gold level Patreon, you've probably been seeing for a while now all of the coaches that we have lined up for Coach's Corner, as well as some of the athletes that we have for Recruit Reflections. So Sydney Seabrooks is going to be our next Recruit Reflection, which comes out on Monday. And then our next Coach's Corner and season preview will be KJ Kindler and the Oklahoma Sooners. So be on the lookout for that. We hope you guys have a great week, and we will talk to you real soon.
Bye.